Hey, this is Pastor Dave. It's great having you with us. Dig into this word, hear it, and do it, and be blessed of God.
Believe it. It's like, really? I know that we don't change to fall until the, 21st or 22nd of September, but it seems like, the kids getting out of school, and then here they are going back next week. Time has gone very quickly. A number of you joined in with fasting and prayer, and it's been 3 weeks ago since there was a call to fast and pray. And there was a lot of petitions that went up. There was a lot that was done over the course of the last 3 weeks. And I thank God for so many of you, whatever part you had, whether it was prayer, whatever it may have been. But there was worship in the wild that took place this last Saturday. Can I just say there's a little bit of a report? Safari Niagara had the largest attendance of the entire summer this last Saturday. Yes. So apparently there was over 3,300 people that went to Safari this on Saturday. And I know the parking lot on the Safari Niagara side or where the zoo side is was full. And you were parking out in the field next door across the street. There's a huge field. And I don't know how many hundreds of cars were on the other side. But I was just thanking the Lord for all those that came out. There was we know that there was at least 325 children that went through, which means that there was another at least 325 parents, possibly if there were kids, or well, potentially 325 parents that came through with them, or if mom and dad were there, there could have been 600 plus parents that came through with their children. So people came in, and they would leave or come in. So they did not stay the whole day. Some did stay the whole day. Did anybody stay the whole day that was there for Saturday? No? Okay. A number of you came out and joined in at some point in the day. I just thank God for the praise and the worship that went up. It was powerful. And it was beautiful. We had a really good turnout for our service on Sunday morning. In fact, we had, I would say, almost, I think it was a record attendance here in the sanctuary. And also all the people that were connected with on out afterwards for the Wheels of Wonder. It was amazing being able to spend almost 2 hours of the time just going from one person or couple to the next, one after the other, and that whole time, I thank God for the opportunity to connect with people. They heard the gospel simply, and they also had opportunity to come for prayer. And so I know after the call, or it was mentioned, immediately I had somebody come and ask for prayer for their daughter. I want you to pray for a lady by the name of Nancy, who is not against, probably unknown to her, maybe even against her will, is now tied up with fentanyl. And has nothing to do with her children. And so 5 children, and basically mom is hooked on very strong narcotics, very addictive. And so pray. We're believing that there's going to be a breakthrough there for Nancy. And this was just a father, one of the guys that came in with their car, their old hot rod or whatever, came in, and when there was opportunity for prayer, had come forward to say, can you pray for my daughter and for the children that are without a mother at this time? So I thank God that we had opportunity to minister to others. The Lord is good. So tonight, as we end this time of fasting and prayer, I want to talk about the power of praise and thanksgiving. The power of praise and thanksgiving. Oftentimes, we come with our petitions, but to come with thanksgiving, to come and praise the Lord, that we would begin to praise Him, to begin to thank Him. In Psalms 9, verse 1 and 2, it says, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. Do we do that? Praise Him with our whole heart? Begin to worship Him with our whole heart? I will tell of all your marvelous works. And so tonight, that there would be an opportunity to say, this is what the Lord has done. The Lord desires for us to praise Him for the things that He's done, for those marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in you. I will sing praise to your name, O Most High. There's something about praising the Lord. There's something about being glad and rejoicing in the Lord, or even beginning. You might not be in that place to be rejoicing, but as we begin to praise, as we choose to praise the Lord, I will praise you, O Lord, with my whole heart. It's not saying I will praise you only when I need answers or only when I'm feeling good. I will praise you with my whole heart and begin to tell of your wondrous and marvelous works. To tell of all your wondrous and marvelous works. Psalm 9, the same chapter, Psalm 9, verses 9 to 11. It's almost like 9-11. Yeah, that's good. The Lord also will be a refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And those who know your name, those who know your name will put their trust in you. For you, Lord, have not forsaken those who seek you. Sing praises to the Lord who dwells in Zion. Declare his deeds among the people. Again, the thing of declaring his deeds, his faithfulness, his goodness, this is what the Lord has done. Psalm 30, verse 4 says, sing praise to the Lord, you saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holy name. To give thanks, even in the remembrance of his holy name, Jesus Christ. We give thanks at even the remembrance of your holy name, Lord. Psalm 57, 9 says, I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. I will sing to you among the nations, for your mercy reaches onto the heavens, and your truth onto the clouds. I will praise you, O Lord, among the peoples. So as we gather together, as we come together, that there would be a praise that begins to go up. And one of the things that I want to do at the very end is that there would be opportunity for there to be praise unto the Lord. You might say, yeah, this is what I'm thankful for, or this is what the Lord is doing, or this is what the Lord, I'm going through difficult times, but I'm trusting in the Lord. I'm going to begin to praise Him for who He is, what He can do in our lives, for His marvelous works. Psalm 106, verse 1 says, praise the Lord. Oh, give thanks to the Lord, for He is good, for His mercy endures forever. His mercy is extended to us. And we begin to give Him praise. Praise the Lord. Give thanks to the Lord, for He is good. So even as we go through this, I want you to begin to say, this is what I thank the Lord for. I know we have petitions. We have petitions. But I want to thank the Lord for His goodness, for His faithfulness. He is good. If you have your Bibles, I want you to turn to 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. You know this passage. But I want to just quickly delve into why we should praise the Lord. Why should we praise the Lord? And this passage here gives a number of reasons why we should praise the Lord. Let's read it. 1 Peter 2, verse 9 and 10. It says, "But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light, who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy." So here, it gives a number of reasons why we should praise the Lord. It says here that you would proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. To begin to praise him for what he's done. So, it says here in verse 9, what's one reason that we can praise the Lord? If we just go through in order here, what's the first thing that's already mentioned in 1 Peter 2, verse 9? It says, we're a chosen generation. We're chosen. And sometimes you might say, well, I'm in a different generation than you are, Dave. And I would say that there's probably, most times there's at least three generations, sometimes four generations present. Most of the time we have three. We probably have three generations here. There's a bit of an overlap. But it says you are a chosen generation, regardless. I thank God, despite what generation you're in, if you don't know the Lord yet, you can. In fact, he's chosen you. He chose you. Why would God choose us? Why would God choose us? Not a trick question. He chooses because he loves us. When it comes to adoption, it's one thing when you have children, they're your children. When it comes to adoption, there's this aspect of, hey, I'm choosing the one that I'm adopting. I'm choosing this child. And here God is saying, I have chosen you. I've chosen you for this time. Some of you, you responded to that choosing. It says in Romans 8, verse 29, it says, "For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. And whom he justified, these he also glorified." And so there's this thing. It was predestined before time began that Jesus would come. It was predestined that he would die and that he would be the firstborn or raised from the dead. It was predestined for us to have opportunity to be called and to respond to the calling of the Lord in our life. Those that he called, he also justifies. As we respond to the calling of the Lord in our life, say, "Yes, Lord, I hear you're calling me. I desire for you to be in my life." He says, we are also justified. We're put into right standing with God. And whom he justifies, these he also glorified. There's a glorifying. There's a changing of us from glory to glory, even to the point of eventually being with the Lord for eternity. That we're going to be having incorruptible bodies, immortal bodies, to live with the Lord forever and ever. We are chosen. You've been chosen. You've responded to the choosing and to the calling that the Lord has called you with, and you were justified before the Lord. You were made right. You're put into right standing with Him. And there's a glorifying that will take place. We are also, what's the second thing that's mentioned in this verse, 1 Peter 2, verse 9? What else are we? A royal priesthood. In Revelation 1, 5 and 6, it says, to Him who loved us and washed us from our sins in His own blood. He loved us. He washed us from our sins. He cleansed us. How? In His own blood. And He has made us kings and priests to His God and Father. To Him be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. So there's this aspect of us being made royalty, a royal priesthood. I've talked about this before, and you've heard it. This royal priesthood, basically it is, as royalty, there is authority that we have. We have position and authority in Christ. And this authority also is intertwined with who we should be as priests. And who can we minister to? Who can we minister to as priests? Okay, anyone, our neighbor, our family, little children. Yeah, so we can minister to others. And it's like, thank you, Lord, you want us to be ministers, to minister with authority, a royal priesthood, that we minister to others. And in what other way can we minister? Helping people? Encouraging them? To be set apart for the Lord? So far, most of what you've told me when I say this, you'll right away recognize the other aspect of ministry, a royal priesthood. So far, all of you have told me a ministry that is going out to others. Is going out to others. So with that, how else can we minister? Sorry? We can minister to the Lord. So this thing of a royal priesthood is not just a horizontal ministry that takes place with authority, but there's also a vertical ministry that can take place. And this is where praise and thanksgiving begin to come into play. When you start to praise Him, when you start to exalt Him, when you start to glorify Him. See, this was something that just came up this year, and it'd be interesting to find it. Maybe somebody can Google it. But was told that the part of your brain that worries is the same part of your brain that gives praise and thanksgiving. You can't do both at the same time. So here's what happens. When we begin to praise the Lord, when we begin to thank Him, so this vertical ministry of royal priesthood, we start to shift our outlook on life. So if we are constantly worried or constantly under some kind of oppression or whatever, it is imperative that you begin to praise the Lord. You begin to worship Him. You begin to thank Him for His goodness, because you can't have these negative things that are consuming you while you're praising. This is why the enemy would love for you to think about those things that are weighing upon you, that are overwhelming you, just you're consumed by it. And the Lord is saying, begin to praise me in it. begin to thank me in the difficult times. We just want to, but I'm worried. Like, I can't believe sometimes I'm dealing with people, and I would try to redirect their outlook and their where they're at, to redirect it to a thing of this is what the Lord has in store for us. These are the promises of the Lord. I'm not trying to make light of your situation, but to turn things around that we can trust in the Lord. The things that are weighing on us, that are overwhelming us, Lord, I'm entrusting these to you rather than hanging on to them. So this, the power of praise and thanksgiving, there's a ministry that begins to go up to the Lord. Now, the Lord is not, and we'll get into one other verse or set of verses. And once again, it'll be verses you know. In fact, we dealt with this a few months back as we went through Philippians. But it's amazing that the Lord doesn't have issue. It's not like, oh, I can't bring my petitions to the Lord or my requests, or I can't bring him the hard times that I'm going through. He says, bring those things. Bring them to me. Your prayers. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in all things, to bring your prayers and your requests with thanksgiving to the Lord. We'll get into that in a bit. But what I'm saying to you at this point in time, we minister to others. It's kind of hard. Can we minister to others when there's such weight upon us? Oftentimes, it's very difficult. In fact, we need others to minister to us. That we would be at a place where it's not just, hey, people are ministering, having to minister to me, but that there would be a place of, I can already begin to get rid of those, that negativity or that oppressive, these oppressive thoughts and things that are weighing in on you. I can already get rid of those things by beginning to praise the Lord, by beginning to thank him. So it is difficult or almost impossible to minister to somebody else when you're consumed with what's going on in your own life. And you're consumed by what's happening to you. And in fact, oftentimes, as we come to the Lord, the petitions are about me. It's about me and where I'm at. I'm not saying that the Lord doesn't want you to do that. He does want you to do that. So much can be taken care of, though, even as we begin to praise the Lord. So the third thing that's mentioned in 1 Peter 2, not only are we chosen, not only are we a royal priesthood, but what else are we? A holy nation. The fact that this is not just individually, but collectively, this thing of a holy nation. It's interesting, in fact, so far, everything has been around this thing of others. Not so much individually, but others. A chosen generation. We're mixed in with others. A royal priesthood. It's not just one. It's many of who we are. A holy nation. Not just a holy person, but a holy nation. We're not alone in all of this. So it says, when it comes to holiness, some of the things that are of holiness require for us to stop doing things that we shouldn't be doing. There's a thing of, what do we call that when we let go of things, when we make a turn in our lives? It's called repentance. And there's an aspect of what we need to do in turning away from certain things that we know are not right before the Lord, to become a holy people. But repentance is not enough. Repentance is not enough for us to get to a place of holiness with the Lord. What else is required? Sorry? Action. But that's the repentance is action. See, if I'm heading to hell and I go like this, I make a 180, I'm heading to heaven, that's an action. Those are actions. There's one action that we must do to get to a place to be in right standing with God. What? Sorry? Even before walking with Christ. Sorry? Okay, I hear salvation. I hear righteous living.
Submission.
Submission. Okay. Sorry, what else? Confession. Okay. So some of that confession is with repentance. To get into right standing with God, what do we need to get into right? Repentance is not enough. Sorry? Sorry, Teresa, sorry, I didn't hear you. Sorry? Okay. It says, if you want to be a part of the kingdom of God, repent and believe in the gospel. If you do one or the other, you won't make it. If you don't repent, I always say when it comes to repentance, like you can turn, but you just become a really good person if you don't believe in Christ. You might become a really good person. But you need to believe. Believe in the gospel. So let me just read a few passages. This thing about being a holy nation. We're not alone in this. In fact, there are many that have come to the Lord now in the last 2,000 years. In fact, people are coming to the Lord even now. People are getting saved even now. And this is what we're praying for. We're praying for others to be a part of that chosen generation, that royal priesthood, that holy nation. So listen to this. And just tell me which word would fit in with holiness, because it's not mentioned in this passage. Tell me which word would fit in with holiness when it comes to our position before God. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So which word in these two verses has to do with right standing before God? So the righteousness of God, is from Him. So it could be that our righteousness, our holiness is from Him. There's another word, is sort of the concluding of His righteousness in our life that comes by faith in the gospel of Christ. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God to salvation for everyone who believes, for the Jew first and also for the Greek. What other word besides righteousness? The righteousness is of God. It comes by faith. What else? Come on. Thank you. The just. Those that are in right standing. I know you got it, right? You got the just. The just shall live by faith. The just is I'm justified. I'm in right standing with God. I'm in a place of holiness before God, because of the righteousness of Jesus on us. A holy nation. We are a holy nation. It says in Galatians 3:10, it says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. If you want to go according to the law and try to keep the law, you are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law, to do them. How many of you have done all the things of the law and you've not broken them once? So we have all sinned. Cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no one is justified or made right by the law in the sight of God is evident. So no one is justified or made right by being a good person, keeping the law. I'm keeping the law. Well, the thing is, we all broke the law already. I didn't keep the law. So we fell. We fall short. So no one is justified by the law in the sight of God. And this is evident. For the just shall live by faith. We live by faith. So we become this holy nation by living by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. Did Jesus hang on a tree? He hung on a tree, on a cross, made from a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, through faith. And so the just live by faith, not in keeping the law or trying to be a good person, but in by faith in the one that died for us, that was cursed, that hung on a tree for us, took all our sins upon himself. And it's by faith that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. There's another passage that talks about the just. Hebrews 10:38 says, now the just shall live by faith. But if anyone draws back from living by faith, no, I'm going to do my own thing by the law. If anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Who has no pleasure? It's God. God, especially God the Father, has no pleasure in the person that draws back from their faith in his Son. The one that he gave for us. The one that died for us. And we draw back from that and say, well, you know what? I got to try being a good person in my own strength. And I'm not going to place my faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for me on the cross. And so it says, now the just shall live by faith, but if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. I like what it says in verse 39. It says, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition. What does perdition mean? Huh? Sorry? Okay. It's a place of perishing. Perdition means I'm going to perish. I'm lost. And so it's saying here, we're not those who draw back to perdition, to a place of being lost apart from God. Don't do that. He's just saying, but we're not going to do that. In the verse before it says, if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. Quotation mark. This is God speaking. But we are not of those who draw back to perdition to be lost, but of those who believe in to the saving of the soul. We're going to believe in Jesus Christ to the saving of our soul, to become that holy nation, just before God and right standing before God. Not because of our righteousness, because his righteousness that comes upon us as we have faith in Jesus Christ and what he did for us on the cross. That's where it comes through, his finished work for us. Praise God. What else are we in this passage, 1 Peter 2, verse 9? We're all a holy nation. We are a God's own special people. How special are we? Well, it says he was in the world. That's Jesus, was in the world, and the world was made through him. And the world did not know him, Jesus. He came to his own, and his own did not receive him. But you, as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God. As we place our faith, or we receive Jesus into our life, he gave us the right to become children of God, to those not who only receive him, but believe in his name, Jesus Christ. My faith is in, I've received it. My faith is in Jesus and his name, who were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God, are born of God. How special are we? We are born of God, which makes us what? His children, are his sons and his daughters. Romans 8 says, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. Abba, Daddy. Daddy. The Spirit himself, the Holy Spirit, bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. An heir receives, and heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. In what way should we suffer with the Lord daily? I'm crucified with Christ daily. That's the suffering. I'm going to suffer with Christ. Where did Christ suffer? He suffered as before he went to the cross, as he was on the cross, even as he died, he suffered. Lord, let me go to the cross. Let me suffer with you on the cross. Hallelujah. And we are heirs together with him. And what's an heir? What's an heir? Somebody that's going to inherit some major things. I'll tell you, if you are of wealth and you pass away, there's a will made. And so when you die, the will comes into effect and we become heirs to receive what was in the will. Well, that's why it's called New Testament or Old Testament. New Testament is basically a will. The will and testament of Dave and Julie Spadzinski. We've got wills written up so that should we die, there's stuff that comes into existence, things that are done. The same thing, Jesus has already died for us. He died and he rose again. Most people, when they die, they don't rise again unless they're believers. They're going to rise again to be with the Lord. And there are their spirit and souls with the Lord. But this thing of being a heir of the things of Jesus Christ. I have been saved. I've been forgiven. I've been cleansed. And I have eternal life. And it started on this side of heaven. It starts on this side of heaven. Praise God. Hallelujah. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. It says, not only that, to thank the Lord, to praise him, is because he's called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Hallelujah. I will deliver you from the Jewish people as well as from the Gentiles, is what God said to Paul, to whom I now send you. And Paul was sent to the Jews to a certain extent, a little amount, but mostly to the Gentiles, which we are, to open their eyes in order to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan to God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and an inheritance among those who are sanctified by faith in me. So there's an opening of the eyes. It says he's called us, that we would proclaim the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. And it happened the moment we believed on Jesus and we received him. And there was a releasing from the power of Satan to get into the power and the light and the life of God Almighty. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 verse 1. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him, and without him nothing was made that was made. In him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. We've come into the light, and there's a comprehension of who Jesus Christ is for us. It says here in 1 Peter 2 verse 9 and 10, it says, who were once not a people, but are now the people of God, who had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy, who are now the people of God. Malachi 3:17, they shall be mine, says the Lord of hosts, on the day that I make them my jewels. And I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. When we begin to praise the Lord, when we begin to exalt him, when we give him thanks, there is a power in that. This is a serving unto the Lord. This is a ministry that we can do unto the Lord. And it says, I will spare them as a man spares his own son who serves him. A man, a father whose son is serving. The father doesn't get upset with a son that serves, may get upset with a son that doesn't serve. But with one that serves him, we can serve the Lord even in giving thanks and praise. And the Lord is saying, you are mine, and you are my jewels. This is the jewels. You are my jewel. I say, praise the Lord. Romans 9, verse 24 to 26, it also says, who are not a people, but now have obtained mercy. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, have obtained mercy. Romans 9, verse 24 says, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. Has he called the Gentiles as well? Has he called us? He has. You are here. You're all Gentiles. As far as I know, I don't know if does anybody have Jewish blood in them? A little bit. Do you know how far back it is? Was it your great grandmother? So a little bit of Jewish blood in you. But Gentiles, we're Gentiles. If you're not a Jew, you're a Gentile. And he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people who were not my people, and her beloved who was not my beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. It's like, thank you, Lord, that you've called. You've called us, you've chosen us, you've called us, and we are your children. This is where we should be able to thank the Lord. If you got nothing to thank the Lord for, I've already mentioned 7 different things that you can thank the Lord for. That is for every single one that's a believer. Lord, let me begin to praise you. Let me begin to thank you for the things that you have done. Just quickly here as we close, I want to read this. Philippians 4, verse 4 to 7. And you know this, these passages. It says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to all men. Let your moderation, let your stability be known to all men. The Lord is at hand. What does it mean the Lord is at hand? He's close. He's with us. He's with us. He's with you. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say rejoice. Be steadfast. Be solid. The Lord is at hand. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your request be made known to God. So, it says with thanksgiving. Guess what? When you bring your prayers and your supplications to God, have the prayers been answered already? Not necessarily, most likely not, because that's why you're praying. That's why he's saying, don't worry. You should worry for nothing, but in prayer, you come and you bring your thanksgiving or your requests, your supplications, you bring them to God, and you begin to thank him before the answers already come. Why? Why? Why would you? God is faithful. He is trustworthy. Why can you start to thank him beforehand? Because he's going to answer? Yeah, he's going to answer. How many of you have received some major answers to prayer, even in the last week? Yeah, there's people, hands are, and so I'm going to give opportunity for you to thank the Lord. That's what we are supposed to do. And as we end off this 3 weeks of fasting and prayer, we're going to begin to thank the Lord. Some of the things, there was answers to prayers. Sometimes we're still waiting, but we're going to thank the Lord in advance. It says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. and the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. All when we start to rejoice in the Lord. When we start to rejoice in the Lord, what happens? We start to take our focus off the obstacle, off the mountain, because now we're focused in on thanking the one that is already beyond your obstacle, beyond what you're going through. He is beyond. And sometimes what we're going through is so extreme. As I said earlier, you cannot. The part of the brain that worries is the same part that gives thanks. You can't do both at the same time. The same part that worries and is anxious is the same part of the brain that gives praise to God, or can give praise to God and can thank the Lord. You can't do both at the same time. As you begin, that's why the Lord says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I will say rejoice. So I don't have to worry. I don't have to worry. I don't have to be anxious. Lord, I'm going to leave this with you. I'm going to thank you in advance. The power of praise and thanksgiving, even in the worst of times. Thank you, Lord. We will take our, when we begin to rejoice in the Lord, we take our focus off the mountains, the obstacles. We begin to look to the one that can get us through the extremes of life. The other thing, what I've come to recognize is when you begin to thank the Lord, or you remember his goodness and his faithfulness to you, there's this thing of going back, and I'm looking for the different things. Oh, the Lord kept me here. The Lord kept me here. The Lord answered prayer here. And now these things are coming back to your remembrance. You go back in your life and say, where was the Lord faithful to me? You say, you know what? I should have been dead here. I should have been dead here. I should have been dead here. And here the Lord spared me. The Lord saved me. The Lord kept me out of this. Lord, thank you for your faithfulness. As we rejoice, we start to see his goodness, his faithfulness, and the fact that he has not left us. He is still with us. And there's something that starts to kindle within you. With that rejoicing, there's also a hope that starts to well up in you. All right. So I'm going to ask if the worship team, if you guys are here, all here, if you can come and just set up. But before as you guys are setting up, can I have some? There was a whole number of you that you were saying, I want to give thanks. Can I have you come quickly here just to have it recorded, or not to record, but for all of you to hear? Can somebody come just quickly, one after the other, start to give thanks, and just in a sentence or two, just share and give thanks. Just come one after the other. Thanks so much for joining us, and we hope that the word you received was impactful and encouraging. We hope you can connect with us in person or online through our socials or website. Make sure you share this with others, and God bless you richly.